Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
You may be seated. We're believing for a season of miracles. It's exciting. And I hope you'll grab the brochure that's there or the card that's there at your seat. God will answer. So at all the campuses in Joplin, North Campus, West Campus, grab that card if you would. I want to encourage you to keep it with you. Keep it in your Bible. Keep it with whatever you have, your journal for your prayer time, because inside it talks about some of the things. There's a prayer list we're asking you to join us in praying about the things that we're looking for God to do. And then there's some ways to fast, because on Sunday we are starting 21 days of fasting and prayer. It goes from July 28th through Saturday, August 17th. And so what we're trying to do on the Wednesday night prayer meeting leading up to it is getting our hearts ready to believe God for big things. I know this, when I'm getting ready to fast, one of the things I like to do, or that helps me, is if I think about when I'm going to be fasting, how I'm going to be fasting, and what I'm going to be fasting for, what I'm going to ask God to do, what I'm going to believe God to do. And as I begin to think about those things, anticipation builds in my heart that not only helps me as I'm praying, but also during that time allows the Lord to begin speaking to me, because I'm already listening closely. I'm saying, Lord, what do you want to do in this season in my life? Where is it that you're leading me relative to the things that I'm going to be seeking you for? Because sometimes I have a list, and how many know that other times we have a list, but God has a list? That there's things we're thinking about, but there's things that God wants to do that we have not thought about. And then I find anticipation builds in my heart to believe God. And this is critical for us to receive from God. So I believe it's not just 21 days of fasting and prayer. I believe it can be 21 days of power that will move you forward and move the church forward into the next season. Now, when we're talking about fasting, and I know we talked extensively, I'll just briefly go over this. We talk about fasting, three types of fast. There's an absolute fast, no food or water. You read about that in the book of Esther. She did that for 3 days. Probably should have a doctor notify them of your intent to do that. But you'd want to be real careful on no food or water. Maybe just start with just water. Then there's the normal fast, which would be abstaining from food but drinking lots of water. And you're better off if you don't do the coffee or the sodas or the sugary fruit drinks or all the things. It just makes it a lot harder to fast. And then there is the partial fast, which can be done in a variety of ways. There's the Daniel fast, which is essentially abstaining from any animal products. So you're talking all dairy, eggs, all meat, obviously, and any bread, sugar, caffeine, you're abstaining from that. Another kind of fast would be a liquid fast. So maybe you're just going to have liquids for 21 days, and that's a great way to seek the Lord. But again, you'd want to notify your doctor if you have health concerns. Maybe another thing would be to say, I'm going to fast one or two meals every single day, and I'm going to go through the 21 days, and I'm going to use that time to seek the Lord. Some might say, I'm going to do a fast from sunrise to sundown. So there's all kinds of ways we can fast. Now, let me just say this. Well, there are people who say, you know, well, I'm going to give up social media. Great idea. That's a good thing to fast. But I'm hoping that's not all you fast. You say, well, I got a medical condition. I got to have my food. Well, you don't have to have, you know, you can do without the sweets. You can do without the caffeine. You can do, no doctor's going to tell you have to have a caffeine every day, or at least I don't think they will. So, I mean, there's things you can give up. And I think inherent in biblical fasting is abstaining from food to one degree or another, and especially the food we enjoy. So to say, I'm going to do without that. So you let the Lord lead you as to how you're going to fast. But we believe this. We believe the exciting thing is God will answer. God will answer. Tonight, what I want to do is I want us to look at a story that's familiar. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. It's also mentioned in James chapter 5. So it's mentioned twice in Scripture, which tells us something. Anytime you see something mentioned once, it's important. Anytime you see something mentioned twice, then it's like heads up. Pay attention. This is something that the Lord wants us to know. It's something the Lord wants us to understand and to learn from. So when you come to 1 Kings chapter 18, what you have is you have the story of a wicked king of Israel by the name of Ahab. He's married to a notorious woman, maybe the most notorious evil woman in the Old Testament, Jezebel. She worships Baal. They worship Ashtaroth, which are essentially fertility gods in the that part of the world. So the worship, as you can imagine, is very, very sensual. During that time, God raises up a prophet by the name of Elijah. And Elijah goes to Ahab and makes this pronouncement in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." He declares a famine. Well, we're going to find out in the New Testament is that Elijah not only gives the word of God, but Elijah feels the responsibility to pray God's word into existence. It's not enough to know the will of God. It's not enough to say, well, this is what God wants to do, or this is what God is going to do. If you and I know the will of God, it is incumbent upon us to pray His will into existence. This is what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, you say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." God, bring your will to bear. Make your will happen in my life, in this church. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Here's Elisha, and he's praying, and for 3.5 years, it does not rain. During that time, he hides himself from King Ahab, and at the end of the 3.5 years, he appears before King Ahab, and he challenges Ahab and his false prophets to a duel, if you will, that they're going to meet on Mount Carmel, that they're going to build an altar there, and they're going to call on the prophets of Baal, call on Baal, and ask him to send fire down on a sacrifice, and then Elijah will call on the true God and ask him to send fire. And the God who answers is the true God. And the people of Israel are very excited about that. They're like, all right, let's do it. So verse 24 of chapter 18, then call on the name of your God. I'll call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed. So if you're familiar with the story, you know that the prophets of Baal, they start and have several hours to try to make it happen. Nothing happens. Elijah mocks them, says, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God is taking care of personal business, is going to the restroom. Maybe your God is, you know, he just makes fun of them. The time of the evening sacrifice, 3 p.m, he builds the altar, he puts the sacrifice on it, has water brought up, pours it out on the sacrifice, calls on God. You know the story. God answers by sending fire from heaven that burns up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the water that was poured out on the sacrifice. At that point, all of Israel is saying, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." That's where we pick up the story. And what I want you to notice as we come to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. What I want you to see are three things regarding prayer and fasting and our seeking of the Lord. Number one, faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the invisible. As we're seeking the Lord, we're going to be asking for God. We're going to be asking God for what we cannot see. Some of you need a healing. You can't see how it would happen. The doctor might have told you it isn't going to happen, that there's nothing medicine can do. Faith sees the invisible. Some of you need a financial miracle. You don't know how it's going to happen. Faith sees the invisible. Some of you are going to be fasting for a healing of relationships, and you're going to say, I can't see how this is going to happen. Faith sees the invisible. Some of you are going to be fasting for a loved one who doesn't know Christ or is away from the Lord. You're saying, I can't see how this would happen, but faith sees the invisible. As you and I come into this season, let's ask God to open the eyes of our heart. Let's ask God to show us what it is that He wants to do. Let's ask Him to show us what He is doing. Let's say, God, let me see the invisible. Let me see where You are at work, that I might pray Your will into existence. Look at it in verse 41 of chapter 18. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. He hears something. How does he know it's going to rain? Here's something that's interesting that maybe you haven't considered before is, in the Old Testament, the Lord said, when the people of Israel obey me, I'll send rain, and when they don't, I'll cut the rain off. One example of that would be in Deuteronomy chapter 11. If you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and soul, then He will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and the late rains. But we read on, and it says, be careful, don't let your heart be deceived, that if you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods, if you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain. So here is Elijah, and here's what he knows. The people have turned from Baal back to God. They've killed the 400 prophets of Baal and the 450 prophets of Ashtaroth, and so the people are saying the Lord is God. So here's what Elijah knows. Elijah knows if the people have turned back to God, God is going to do what? He's going to send rain. Now, Elijah could say, well, the people have turned back to God. My job's done. He's going to send rain. But that's not what he does. He prophesies the word of God because he knows the will of God. It's very interesting. And I would just say, in addition to what we're talking about, praying the will of God, it's important for us to speak the will of God. There's something about that declaration of saying, I'm believing God to do this, that comes by way of our words, that comes by way of our actions. Listen, here's what you're doing on Sunday morning when we have prayer for the sick. Here's what you're doing. When at the West Campus or the North Campus or Joplin, you come forward, or here at this campus, you come forward, what you're saying is, I believe in a God who heals. I'm believing that God is going to heal me because He is my healer. That's what you're saying. You're not coming forward saying, well, I hope He heals me. Maybe that's how you're coming, but I would suggest better to come and say, this is the way I receive healing. I'm coming forward that God might heal me. It's important for us to walk by faith. It's important for us to do the things of faith. It's important for us to say the things consistent with faith. When you're walking by faith, you believe the word of God, you declare the word of God, and you pray the word of God into existence. Yeah, good. and a fast. You're going to hear the word of God. God is going to speak to your heart. At that point, it's important what you do with what God reveals to you. It's important that you embrace it by faith. It's important that you pray it into existence. Faith is not only believing God, but it's the channel by which we hear from God. In that sense, faith always operates in the realm of the invisible. One person put it this way: faith sees the invisible, it hears the inaudible. It hears what no one else is hearing. It sees what no one else is seeing. It sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and does the impossible. So this is why fasting is so important for us, because it has that effect on us of causing us to be more inclined to the spiritual realm. Let me tell you how it works. Because you're hungry, right? You're like, man, I'm hungry. I'd like to get something to eat. And instantly, no, I'm not going to. The reason why I'm hungry is because I'm seeking the Lord. And immediately, your mind goes from thinking how hungry you are to saying, God, I'm doing this because I really need an answer from you. You find yourself instantly calling on the Lord, letting your hunger drive you to the Lord and making you aware of his presence. Faith sees the invisible. There's a second thing. Faith empowers the impossible. Now look at this in verse 42. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed down, low to the ground, and prayed with his face between his knees. I mean, he isn't eating, he's fasting. It doesn't say, so Elijah decided to fast. No, it doesn't have to tell us that. He's not eating. Ahab's eating. It's time to eat. He's got to be very, very hungry. Is he hungry? Absolutely. He is worn out. He is exhausted. Would he like to eat? Certainly he would, but he would rather see God work in power than satisfy his hunger. So what he does in that moment is he's not eating, he's fasting. He isn't eating, he's spending time with God. See, there's some people, and they're not eating, but they're not spending time with God. So if you're not eating, and you're not spending time with God, you're dieting. That's different than fasting. Fasting is where you're not eating, and you're spending time with God. Then that's fasting. So don't use this as a diet. Use it as a fast, right? Here's Elijah. He is waiting on God because seeing it rain is more important to him than food. Seeing it rain is more important to him than going in and acting like a big shot with Ahab because of what just happened. You know Ahab would have loved to have talked to him. You know people would have been in awe. The guy just called fire down from heaven. I mean, they were stunned. They were shocked. But what Elijah wants more than anything is he wants to see God fulfill his word and his promise to the people. This is the heart of fasting, is saying, God, I would rather see your power on display and see your promise fulfilled than half food. There's a third thing I want you to notice. Fervent prayer is powerful. Now, I want you to notice how many times Elijah prays. Then he said to his servant, go and look toward the sea. The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time. You know what's interesting to me? If after six times Elijah says, well, good night, I guess it's not going to happen. I might as well go eat. Rain's not coming. You know what happens to a lot of people, a lot of us? We stop too soon. We conclude because after the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, it hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. Elijah says, go back again. Go back again. Go back again. The servant's got to be thinking, what in the world is going on? But Elijah says, listen, I'm praying God will answer. Let's keep looking. I'm praying God will answer. Let's go. I want you to go look for the answer. I want you to go see if it's coming. I want you to see if it's come yet. And when the servant comes back and says, I don't even see an answer anywhere in this. Elijah doesn't say, well, you know what? I don't know, man. Maybe God's not going to do it. Maybe I heard him wrong. Maybe he doesn't do any of that. When the servant comes back and says, I don't see anything, Elijah says, well, then I'm going to pray a little more, and I'm going to send you back again. Listen, you may not see the answer right away. Keep on praying. Have the eyes of faith. Have the heart of faith. Have the mindset of faith that says, I can't see it now, but that doesn't mean it's not coming soon. Somebody had asked me, during the illness, people have asked me some questions, and one of the things that happened, that when the church prayed, God healed my heart, but I still had substantial fatigue and still was not putting on weight. So I kept going forward on Sunday morning to be prayed for, and I would just go. I figured, hey, I'm here three times, I might as well get prayed for three times. And so I would go three times every Sunday to be prayed for. And I'd pretty much go to the same people because, you know, it's kind of like rather than rehearse everything every single time, I had a group of people, and it was just pretty much the people who stood right there. So I wasn't like saying, well, I think they're better at it than other. I think God honors his word. So I'd go up and I'd say, you know the drill. That's what I would say to them. You know the drill. And they would pray for me. Somebody asked me this. They said, did you ever go home and think, you know, why isn't God healing me? And I don't get it. I said, you know what? Honestly, that never crossed my mind. They said, well, what did you think? I said, here's what I thought. If I go, I will be healed. So I will go until I'm healed. I'm just going to go, because if I go, there's no way I can keep showing up without God eventually saying, huh, he is not going away. God is a God who answers prayer. And we have to settle in our heart, he's real, prayer is powerful, and he answers prayer. This is why I love the name of this fast. God might answer. God sometimes answers. God's been known to answer. God answers other people. No, God will answer. God will answer. God will answer. God will. When you and I pray, he will answer. That is a quote from Isaiah 58 and verse 9. Then the Lord will answer. The message says, then God will answer. He will answer when you and I fast and seek him. I mean, we need 21 days of prayer, because what we need is we need that habit of going to God. Some people say 21 days builds a habit. Some people say it's got to be a little longer than that. But 21 days is a great start on a habit. 21 days is a great start on you seeking God and me seeking God with greater intensity, greater devotion. Saying, God, I believe you're going to do something amazing. Now watch what happens here. Seven times Elijah told him, go back and look. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Now, you know, probably Elijah, he's human. He probably would have hoped for like a big shelf cloud or some big, you know, big massive cloud or front moving in, and all he sees on the horizon is just like a little cloud, like the size of a man's hand. Not very big, not very much. But Elijah knows, because remember, faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and Elijah knows God has answered. Here's what will happen to you as you're seeking the Lord. Musicians, you can come. As you're seeking the Lord, there's going to come a moment where you feel you've broken through. Yeah. Old-timers called it praying through. When you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and instantly it's like heaven's heard. It's a wonderful point to be, and it takes, you know, this is the value of a fast, to be able to say, I'm going to keep praying, I'm going to keep praying, I'm going to keep praying, till I get that breakthrough, that witness in my heart that heaven has heard. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab, and tell him, go climb in your chariot, go back home, don't hurry. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon, the sky was black with clouds, and a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. I want you to notice as well the fervency of Elijah's prayer. It says this, he climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, he bowed low to the ground, and he prayed with his face between his knees. I mean, talk about a whole heart, whole soul, whole body kind of praying. That's fervent prayer. When you know, he's in it. He's in it to win it. You know, the problem with a lot of people's prayers is they're half-hearted, they're lethargic, they almost beg God not to answer. It's like, God, if you could help me, that'd be great. Yeah, we could use a raise if you could, yeah, you could work on that. It's a difference between that kind of prayer and the kind of prayer that says, God, I've got to hear from you. God, if you don't answer, I don't know what I'm going to do. We need a miracle. Big difference. One gets heaven's attention. The other basically puts you to sleep. I'm just simply saying there's a place for at times, and I'm not saying every prayer has to be that way, so like you're at work all of a sudden. Listen. I will tell you, I was with a missionary, and we were in his country, and he'd come off a 40-day fast, and every now and then, wherever we were, he would say, I've got to pray, and he would drop like that and pray, and it was so powerful. But I'm just saying there's something, you know, about times and seasons, occasions where you just have to get a hold of God, and you need to pray with that kind of fervency. I mean, this is what he does. James chapter 5, now we'll go to the New Testament. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That word in the Greek, homopathes, he was made of the same stuff. You see, don't think of this guy as some super saint and his life and what he did doesn't apply to you. James says to do that would be, to make that conclusion would be a big mistake. He was made of the same stuff. He got discouraged. He felt like quitting. There were times he didn't understand what God was doing. You read his story, you see that. But this is what James is saying. When you look at his life, he was like us, had a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. He prayed fervently. For 3.5 years, he is praying fervently that it's not gonna rain. It says this in the NLT. It says, Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly. In the Greek, it's this way. And he prayed. That's literally what it is in the, he prayed. Some would say he prayed in his praying, as if to say there's a prayer that doesn't pray. He prayed in his praying. He prayed. He double prayed. And then it says this, Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. The sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. And here's the lesson James draws from that story. Are you ready for it? Look at it. Three different versions of the same verse. The earnest prayer, according to the New Living Translation, of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The King James, some of you memorized it this way or heard it growing up, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person or a righteous man availeth much. Or the NIV says this, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Listen, what it's saying is when you and I pray, when ordinary people who love God pray, powerful things happen. When ordinary people call on God, powerful things happen. He prayed. He fasted. We saw that. He was fasting and praying, and powerful things happened. How powerful does your prayer have to be to call down fire from heaven and then pray rain over a land that hasn't had it for 3.5 years? How powerful does your prayer have to be to stop rain for 3.5 years? It has to be really powerful. And what James is saying is, listen, you and I can pray powerful prayers. That's what this season of fasting and prayer is all about. God will answer. It's not just 21 days of fasting and prayer, it's 21 days of power as we see God do the impossible. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to be in your presence. And Lord, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I believe you're preparing our hearts for this Sunday, for the start of this season, for the way you're going to work in this church, for the way you're going to work in this community, for the way you're going to work in our lives, for the way you're going to meet needs, for the way you're going to heal your people, touch your people, provide for your people, work in the lives of your people. So tonight, I pray that faith would rise in our hearts at all the campuses. That, Lord, during this season, we'd see the invisible. I pray, oh God, that we'd become fervent in our prayer, that, Lord, there'd be something that would grip our soul, and that, Father, you would take hold of us. Lord, let us know your will, and may we pray it into existence. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to pray fervently, and God, to see things happen powerfully in our lives. I pray for the people tonight who are in this room, and something that's been on their heart that they've prayed for and sought you for but hasn't happened, that tonight faith would rise in their heart that you're a God who's faithful, you're a God who's powerful, and that in these 21 days you're going to do something supernatural like they've never seen before, that you will answer. Lord, touch your people tonight at every campus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guess what? We don't have to wait for 21 days from now to receive from the Lord. We can receive from him tonight. So what I'd like to do at every campus, we're going to open the altar. I'd like you to just step out, come down. Let's seek the Lord. Let's call on his name. Ask him to speak to your heart what he wants to do in your life, the way to give you a promise, to show you his will. pray it into existence. You might already know. Just come into the altar. Let's seek God. Let's believe God's going to show himself powerful in Jesus' name.